gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Everybody, 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH. Have a morning, radio DJ. Good morning.
Good buddy, everybody.
Okay, 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com, the website. You can email us. Oh, their executive producer, Crystal Boyd, voice DD Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. As I said at the top of the hour, it's Handsome Man Day on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Why, thank
Mooks,
you.
Mooks, hour number two. Sexy Liberal Hal Sparks, hour number three. Gavin Newsom.
Right there in that chair. Do not.
It is like looking into an eclipse without glasses. Do not stare directly at the television when he's on.
It just seems wrong that he has to sit in such a dirty chair. So,
oh, we're giving him the dirty chair?
Well, they're all dirty.
We have no clean chairs here.
These look like the chairs on our old porn studio where we started the show.
Yeah.
With the Spankmaster 2000.
Right, yes, right,
and
right.
And the various implements.
Yeah.
And the stripper pole. Genders.
All right.
Oh.
Anyway.
And the filthy imitation leather couch.
Yeah. He can't. I really, your eyes just burn. I've had to do debates and stuff with him, and I'm just like, you're so pretty.
Okay. Well, remember when we were in Beverly Hills at the Beverly Hilton? He was sitting right next to me. I was like,
God,
you're beautiful. What?
I know. And he's so smart, but I don't really, I can't ever really hear what he's saying.
I know. It's sad.
It's Handsome Man Charlie Brown's teacher. Exactly.
Yeah.
All right.
But he has a new book out that's great. It's called Citizenville.
Right. Right. Of course. So there are pictures of him? Okay. Yes, it is. Citizenville. There it is.
Yes.
All right. All right. So, and we were saying, you know that your party's in trouble when I came in and I said, can you get me that poll about how people hate Republicans? And you said.
Which one? There are a couple that came out yesterday.
Yes.
Yeah.
This one, ABC News Washington Post poll. Yeah. We'll get to all of it later. People hate Republicans. Okay. You wonder who's going to take the blame for this. You know what? This is why I think the Screaming Goats have become so popular, because this is how people feel about politics in America. In fact, Tammy writes, Steph, thanks for ruining my life. You're welcome, Tammy. Since hearing the Bon Jovi goat song, I cannot stop looking for Screaming Goat remixes. I'm supposed to be working. If I get fired for this, I'm showing up there and will expect a job, preferably searching for goat music videos.
They're proliferating all over the interwebs.
Oh, we have one ready for Hal.
Do you want to play now or do you want to wait for Hal?
Let's just hear a little bit of
okay.
This is because it's Hal's band.
01.
So listener Steve sent this along for,
That's
see, it. And I have to say before he gets here, all heavy metal sounds like that to me anyway.
Yeah.
So.
Oh.
Shh. Don't tell him. Don't.
Y'all are mean.
No, his band's great. I just, you know, Mama's too old. She's not an aficionado.
If it's too loud, you're too old.
And turn that down, you
makes
damn fool.
Grandma kids. Drop her Werther's out of her purse. Stop it!
So,
like voodoo!
I'm just speculating as to how long it'll be before it turns out the whole Screaming Goat thing is a hoax.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, that
hopefully
never.
Not
like
before. It's not
going
to stop us from...
No,
the piglet helping the goat, or which thing? It's another internet thing. All right.
The piglet without legs?
No. There is a... It turned out to be a hoax. It's a... Goat or a piglet saving a goat out of a lake or something. I don't know. It doesn't matter. It's a hoax. Okay. Jim.
What?
Who said, well, speaking of the president.
Sure.
We'll criticize everything he does. We'll say, Mr. President, it's now up to you to find this $85 billion in savings. And we'll say it's to make it easier for you. But every decision he'll make, we'll criticize.
I'd say John Bonehead.
No, that was a good guess, but Lindsey Graham.
Oh.
He must be in the he must have been in mid-vapor and blurted out the truth.
We're going to oppose anything you do.
Wow.
If you say 2 + 2 = 4, we're going to say it's 7.
Inside voice, Lindsey. That wasn't supposed to be.
Okay.
Yeah, that's how bad that is. I think they've just said it. They're like, look at our approval ratings couldn't get any lower. We're just saying it out loud.
Yeah.
I love this one. Boner urges Senate, get off your ass! Do you have it? I love it.
We have moved the bill in the House twice. We should not have to move a third bill before the Senate gets off their ass and begins to do something.
No! Oh
my, aren't we salty?
No.
A little tavern language.
And then Harry Reid had a retort.
Oh.
Did you hear that?
Uh-huh.
I was raised in a little town that had 13 brothels in it, so I'm used to some pretty salty language. I think he should understand who is sitting on their posterior. We're doing our best here to pass something. The speaker is doing nothing to try to pass anything over there.
Right. Yeah, that was a good retort.
I'm sorry you had to hear me say
posterior. That was
real. That was
filthy of me. I'm sorry.
I apologize.
His mom did laundry in the brothels in Searchlight, Nevada. That is, that's a fact I did not know.
That was a little prissy.
That was.
I am not the one that. No,
that's a big
job.
Now
look what you've made me
laundry
do.
Laundry in the brothel.
They make quite a mess, from what
yes,
I understand.
I'm
not that I would know.
No.
No. If it's a small load, can you do it by hand?
Hey!
No, what I meant by that.
Laundry. She's talking about laundry.
Okay, there's a line that you have
line?
To tiptoe up
line?
To.
Me.
Yes.
Me. Over the line. At least I didn't say scrub your nub. I didn't say that again. That was yesterday's story. It was a story about a guy. All right, never mind. All right, my point is.
I think Standards and Practices sent us a letter about that, by the way.
How rough? They said.
Oh, dear.
Oh, dear.
Oh, dear.
We're disappointed.
Knocked me right on my posterior.
Posterior, he said.
Posterior.
Disappointed!
Yeah. Boner said, they've been working nonstop, as you know.
Right.
Mm.
Create a spending bill. The president's traveling all over the country. Going down to Newport News in order to use our military men and women as props, and yet another campaign rally to support his tax hikes.
Boner. He was at Newport News Shipbuilding. He wasn't at
Because you see, that sort of thing would be shut down under the sequester,
right.
So he was making a point.
Newport News Shipbuilding is not military. What is he talking about? There weren't military people there.
I love this. Boner insisted if the president gets more money, he's just going to spend it.
Yeah. On things that we need, like bridges that don't collapse.
Exactly.
Right.
And Newport News Shipbuilding is right next to the James River Bridge, which might need a little bit of help.
Just FYI, Boner, the president and Senate Democrats have rejected the House proposals because they contain too many tax loopholes for corporations and the wealthy, you see.
Where are the sitting on your ass? Just pass what we send you. That's your job. Who do you think you are?
Speaking of Republicans blurting out things that are supposed to be inside voice. Did you see Bitch Face, Eric Cantor? He actually, this is in the, where did I read this? Cantor told, one reporter, Cantor told me it was a quote-unquote fair assessment that he talked Boner out of accepting Obama's deal. He said he told Boner that it would be better instead to take the issues of taxes and spending to the voters and have it out with the Democrats in the election. How'd that go for you?
Yeah.
For nearly 2 years, Boner has said Obama walked away from the grand bargain, remember, which helped create... You know, this toxic political environment, writing it amazes me the majority leader was willing to admit this. It makes Cantor look craven and it makes Boner look remarkably dishonest. It's unbelievable.
Wow.
He basically just admitted. Okay. Boner's a great big mural.
You're a lying sack of crap. You're a lying sack of crap. You're a lying, scheming, stinking, nasty sack of liquid crap.
All right. Here's some of the stuff that's happening already.
Uh-huh.
Looming budget cuts prompt U.S. to free hundreds of detained immigrants. U.S. authorities revealed they've released hundreds of detained immigrants in recent days to trim expenses ahead of massive automatic budget cuts due to take effect this week. So for all the Republicans are going to scream amnesty when we get to immigration reform.
Right.
There you go. You go. Thanks a lot. All right. The president talking about these.
But I just have to be honest with you. There are too many Republicans in Congress right now who refuse to compromise even an inch when it comes to closing tax loopholes and special interest tax breaks. And that's what's holding things up right now.
Mm-hmm. Somebody, you know who's, I've been quoting him a lot, but Michael Tomasky in the Daily Beast.
He's a great writer.
Yeah, I mean, this is, but he broadens it out to the media, which we talk about a lot, too, that it's just infuriating. It's that, you know, we have to leave it there. Both sides have equally valid points.
No, they don't.
No. He writes the GOP rage machine and its mainstream apologists. This is in the Daily Beast. We can post this.
Okay.
Just as today's Republican extremists benefit from the silence of conservative pundits, they also gain from the credulousness of mainstream figures who keep pretending that today's GOP is a responsible party within the normal American political traditions, so that when the GOP takes a radical position on the sequester and Barack Obama a reasonable one, both are accorded equal seriousness, even when the facts have to be ignored to do so. So, I mean, and he talks about Bob Woodward, Exhibit A. He wrote this piece, you know, basically blaming the president for the sequester. He went on to argue any deal seeking to replace the sequestration cuts had to consist only of cuts, not revenue. So Obama was pulling a fast one. This is totally factually wrong. I mean, they're just complicit in the... Okay. The legislation referred to deficit reduction, not just spending cuts. The Republicans in Congress aren't stubborn. They are completely implacable. That's what he... Ron Fournier, excuse me, National Journal, wrote a column last week predicated on the continuing fantasy that Obama could solve all this if he would just show the proper leadership. And so this was somehow all his fault because he couldn't bring them to the table. The Monday column implored the president to lead a stubborn Congress. Again, as he points out, they're not stubborn. They're completely implacable.
Yep.
This is just fantasy land. They are. Obama can't lead them anywhere. They will not play. Anyway, Fournier took the position that a president who has cut spending three times as much as he has increased revenue, whose current offer, a mostly even mix of cuts and revenues, is backed by three-quarters of the American people, is being no more reasonable than the minority party that says our way or the highway, whose position is supported by 19% of the people. Those positions are not equivalent. To write as if they are equivalent is to perpetuate a lie.
Perpetuate.
Hello, I'm Barbara Walters. I'm back from my chicken pox. Scratch, scratch, scratch. Sorry. Perpetrate a lie, at least two lies. In the immediate case, the lie that the Republicans are engaged in anything resembling good faith bargaining, and in the broader sense, a lie that the GOP is a normal political party by our historical norms. They have none of the normal respect for the legislative give and take that has characterized American political parties through most of our history. Mike Tomosky in the Daily Beast. We'll post that up on the Facebook page.
We already did.
Yeah. It's... But, I mean, I was looking at some other poll numbers today about gun control stuff. Wayne LaPierre doesn't even speak for the members of the NRA. There are not two sides to this position. The vast majority of the American people want background checks. I think it was a new poll this morning. 61% of Americans want stricter gun laws.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just to pretend like, oh, it's all the same and there's differences of opinion. That's all I wanted to say. Gack. All right. 18 minutes after that, you're going to play a screaming goat, I can tell. Okay, no, you're not. No. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Red, White, and Steph. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 24 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Sexy Liberal Hal Sparks in hour number two. Coming up for Hump Dates with Hal. And then Gavin Newsom. In hour three.
I would say if you're on top of the Hancock building, you shouldn't. Might as well jump. It might be a bad idea.
Unless you can land on a bag of vipers. Okay. This is the, what you call it, GOP receives disproportionately more flack. Including from their own partisan and ideological base for the sequestration. While 52% of adults in the latest ABC News Washington Post poll disapprove of Obama's handling of federal spending, that jumps to 67% disapproval rating for the GOP, a substantial 15-point gap in the president's favor.
Spending cuts do not stimulate the economy, by the way.
Great.
Quite the opposite is happening in Europe.
Is it wrong that it makes me so happy when I make newsbusters? I have so little in my life. Left-wing blowhard Stephanie Miller fawns over study showing that being called Republican is an insult. There was a study that showed most people think being called a Republican is an insult. So I was simply reporting the news.
What's your point?
That's so blowhardy of me to report things
report
that are
something
in the news.
That are,
boy, they sure busted that news.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, they're clever that way.
And then all the comments are usually the same. Who is she? I don't even know who why is she important? I'm important because I make newsbusters every day. That's pretty much why.
Well, you know, Mark Levin.
They want to date me and kiss me.
Because you're sarcastic.
cannot get enough of me. That's why, because they keep bringing me up. That's why I'm important.
Absolutely.
That's why I matter.
Who does she think she is, this woman that we write about every day?
Right. Stupid. Nobody knows who she is. Annette in Colorado, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Annette.
Hello, Stephanie. Good morning.
Good morning.
I love the show.
Thank you.
And I just wanted to say I live here in Aurora, Colorado, and what the wonderful thing that just happened here, that they just passed a bill through the Colorado House requiring background checks for all gun purchases.
How about that?
Ban on magazines for more than 15 rounds, and they're a measure to allow colleges to ban concealed weapons on campus.
Yay.
Oh, that's awesome. And I think it really is significant that so many states are doing this for themselves, mm-hmm. you know, proving
it. I do, too.
I mean, look at Michael Bloomberg just put money into this race to replace Jesse Jackson Jr., and the woman won.
Yep.
I mean, you know,
yes.
You can't tell me the politics are not changing. They're starting to counter this money from the NRA, right?
Exactly, yes.
Yep.
And by the way, Chris LaVoy, I love your T-shirt. I am an ASU alum.
Yeah, go Devils!
Go Devils.
Forkham Devils.
There's a
go Devils.
Hook'em Horns. Oh, no, that's
no,
Austin.
No, Forkham Devils.
Oh, great, exactly. Isn't that the Hook'em Horns for Austin?
Same thing. No. No, it's like, it's this or something. Like, yeah.
Something. Yeah. Okay. And that's USC. Fight on for the two fingers. Fight on for old SC. People know what I'm talking about, to go into SC. Fight on for
two fingers. That sounds almost.
Fight on for victory for old SC. Fight on. Jim loves it. He went to UCLA.
Nice to think of two fingers of bourbon.
And some Cheetos. All right. What were we saying? Anyway, it really is amazing, some of these poll numbers that came out this morning about it. It's not just the majority of Americans, of Republicans, it's the majority of the NRA members.
Mm-hmm.
Wayne LaPierre speaks for nobody, essentially.
Right.
All right, Francisca in Massachusetts, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you doing?
Good, go ahead.
Well, yeah. Well, I want to tell you, I worked for 33 years, and I paid Medicare all these years. And I retired because I had to retire. My husband died of cancer,
I
had to take care of him. But I retired, and I still pay Medicare. But
right.
I keep hearing about the entitlement. Entitlement. It's an entitlement I'm still paying for.
Right. That's right. That's exactly right. Well said. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. Couldn't say it better myself.
It ain't a man's world.
No.
Yeah.
Okay. Jack in Massachusetts. Hey, Jack. Welcome.
Hey, welcome. Nice talking to you.
Thank you. Oh, no need to welcome me.
One quick comment on what Bona said about the Senate.
What's that?
That he should get his head out of his ass before the Senate gets it off theirs.
All right, there you go. See what you did there? Yeah. He did a little joke. It's just hilarious. The Senate should get off its ass.
Why does the Senate just do everything I tell them to? I don't understand. Who do they think they are?
It's just, I love that he's not even in the equation anymore, apparently. I'll just beer in the tower. Everyone else needs to get off their ass.
Huh?
What? All right. 29 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ordinary nut, son. That's
Stephanie Miller.
Comments are very disappointing on Newsbusters.
Why?
Come on, you people can do better than that. Okay.
What happened?
I just love reading my own hate stuff. Is that weird?
No.
It makes me happy. Okay. Let's see. This one is... okay, so we made Newsbusters again?
We did.
This is my Matt Vespa. Maybe Brian Mulroney had the day off. Something. What's going on over there?
I don't know.
He's new. Hi, Matt. Welcome. Okay, so, yes, the headline is left-wing blowhard Stephanie Miller fawns over study showing that being called a Republican is an insult. That's because I was quoting a study that the majority of people
think that being called a Republican is an insult.
Mm-hmm. Right. You know what I enjoy? Here, can I have some comedy music? I enjoy when they actually put a transcript up. Because then I enjoy the... Because I don't often get to enjoy my own show. But I'm like, oh, wow, that's funny.
But then you enjoy the comedy stylings of...
Stephanie Miller.
This is really entertaining. I wish I could listen.
Yeah.
Huh. Left-wing blowhard and radio host Stephanie Miller has great news for her liberal cohorts. Republican is now a bad word. A study said that 87% of their respondents found the word Republican synonymous with greed, racism, and violence.
Yes. Sure.
Miller was overjoyed and shared the news with her scores of listeners. Oh, see, scores.
Scores, that's an insult.
Right? Like, that's like a handful. You see, you could have said handful. Something.
The scores of listeners include the people at Newsbusters, apparently.
Apparently. Yeah. They listen to every word every day.
Who is this woman we keep reporting about?
That no one's heard of, but every we talk day. About every day. We must listen again today to see what other nonsense she's saying. Oh, all right, here's our transcript. Ready?
Okay, yes.
I think they confused you, too, because normally you're the one that adds absolutely nothing to the show.
Me?
Right. They quoted it as being Jim, and Jim is never this supportive of me, so this couldn't be him.
Am I that supportive of you?
Well, you fake it, at least. Jim doesn't even pay attention to me, do you?
Hmm? What? Did you say something?
Stephanie Miller, here's me. Stephanie Miller said, breaking news, recent polls suggest a majority of Americans consider being called a Republican insulting. Jim Ward, ha ha. I guess Jim could have said that, but not by way of supporting me.
No.
Stephanie Miller, so here's where we are in America. We're on the verge of marriage equality, so you know when people used to call you the F word for gay man and throw gum in your hair? Well, I was talking to John Fugelsang, because that's his joke.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yes, right. Yes.
Jim Ward, ha ha.
Jim is never that
concise. No,
that
had to be you.
No.
Unless I do. Ha ha.
You're kind of a stooge. It had to be you. Stephanie Miller, now that insult has been replaced with Republican. John Fugelsang, with what? Stephanie Miller. Oh, he was playing hard of hearing Darth Vader. What?
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 What? What? What? What?
Stephanie Miller, Republican. It literally, they consider it an insult. 87% of Americans consider the word Republican to be synonymous with greed, racism, and violence. Jim Ward, yes! Did you move into Ed McMahon?
Yes, you're correct, sir.
That is not Jim. That has to
that
be me.
That had to be you.
I add, because I add nothing.
You add absolutely nothing to the show.
You're right.
I was probably looking at cat videos.
Screaming goats.
Okay, so then they go on to say the irony is that the Democrats embodied those attributes just a generation ago in the South during the Jim Crow era.
Yeah. Okay. Yes, but the Democrats learned the error of their ways and are no longer that way.
Then Nixon had brought the Southern strategy.
Right.
And, yeah.
Oh, here's Sean Hannity's favorite. Indeed, the late Senator Robert Byrd, taking enough of that, 1,000 years ago.
Yes.
He's
currently dead.
The Ku Klux Klan. What's more, former Vice President Al Gore's father voted against the Civil Rights Act of 1964. Oh,
ha-ha!
Wow. Ha-ha!
Gotcha.
Jacques. Wait a minute. Former President Bill Clinton got his start in politics in 1967 as an intern to Senator William Fulbright,
uh-huh.
who filibustered the 1957 and 64 Civil Rights Act, as well as the 1965 Voting Rights Act.
See?
Ha-ha-ha!
That proves nothing.
Yeah.
Why can't they talk about today? Why do they have to reach in, like, 30, 40, 50, 80 years in the past in order to get you?
I don't know. Thanks again for the publicity, Newsbusters. Appreciate it. Oh, look at them. They're cheating on me, though. Also on Newsbusters, Randy Rhodes. Republicans are meth heads who want to tank our economy.
But
why? How dare you? She's stealing my press.
I think they might love Randy Rhodes a little more than you.
Oh, no, they do. They love me and want to kiss me. Now we're just going to try to outdo each other every day to make Newsbusters. All right, let's go to Buddy in Columbus. Hi, Buddy.
Hey, Mom, I'm Luke. Hey, before I go on a short rant with a headache behind my eye about the sequester, I got a quick question for Jim.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Jim, what do you care about least? Donald Trump's opinion on anything or the Kardashians?
Oh, that's a tough one.
Wow. It's a little game show for you.
At least Donald Trump is a source of comedy for me, so probably the Kardashians.
Okay.
Mama,
yes.
I am sick to death of this stumbling from one created crisis to another. It's the sequester, it's the fiscal cliff, it's the one where they lost our credit rating. I forget that one. You know, it's all manufactured.
Yep.
I mean, did you hear one of these SOBs jumping up and down when Dick Cheney said deficits don't matter?
Yep.
No. And you know what? They're not really concerned about the deficit.
Oh, you sent me the Lindsey Graham quote. They're just coming out and saying it now. Just saying, we're going to criticize whatever the president does. It doesn't matter what he does.
Exactly. But if you look down on that, when when Cheney said deficits didn't matter, did they jump up and down? No. They're not even concerned about the deficit. They're just looking for something to hamstring the president on.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. It sounds to me, buddy, like, are you sick of the sequestration?
Yeah. I'm sick of the sequestration. It's giving me some frustration.
Yeah.
Sequestration.
Quinn in Tacoma, Washington. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Quinn.
How you doing?
Good. Sam,
thanks y'all today for having me on.
Mm-hmm.
I just have like one question, and that was if the sequestration of I can't even say the word
sequestration.
Yeah.
Say go through. Does it? I'm saying, does Congress take a pay cut too?
No,
God,
of
no.
course not. Oh
no.
God, no! Don't be ridiculous. That's sacrosanct. How dare you? It's like that was like heckling the Pope on his way out. Okay. But did you see Pope Benny? It was his last time in the Popemobile this morning.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. You don't care.
The Pope Benny and the Jets.
You're a godless communist.
No,
okay.
I mean, the Catholic Church has done a lot of work.
Yes. The president yesterday.
All we're asking is that they close loopholes for the well-off and the well-connected, for hedge fund managers or oil companies or corporate jet owners who are all doing very well and don't need these tax loopholes, so we can avoid laying off workers or kicking kids off Head Start or reducing financial aid for college students.
Yeah, why are we still subsidizing the oil companies when gas is
so
four
that,
something
so that we
a
can
gallon
kick kids
here.
Out of Head Start and get real meals on wheels? And, yeah.
Hmm.
Okay, the president one more time.
Because of these automatic cuts, about 90,000 Virginians who work for the Department of Defense would be forced to take unpaid leave from their jobs.
Audra in Chicago. Hey, Audra.
Hello. Good morning, Mama.
Good morning. Are you my Audra?
No, I'm not.
That's Audra in Minneapolis.
Oh, that's a different Audra. All
yes.
right, go ahead.
I actually want to make two quick points. The first one is last night, Rachel Maddow made a very cogent point about the sequester and how ridiculous the obfuscation from the Republicans is. Another vantage point, which is that the deficit has actually been shrinking.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So the need to cut spending is, well, big surprise, a manufactured emergency.
Yep. Yep.
And then as my second point, I'd like to say, as a result of the poll that you cited yesterday that got you in so much trouble, I propose that we change Republican to Repugnican.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Right. Yep. Absolutely.
And that's it. I just wanted to pass that idea.
All right. Thank you. Thank you. I don't understand what they're screaming about. I didn't do the study. I just reported it, for God's sakes.
Yeah.
I mean, that's every.
No, you are fawning over it.
You can look at any poll. It says the same thing
right.
about
yes.
Republicans right now. Republicans
yeah,
are saying
about,
the same thing.
What about 1946 when a guy, a Democrat, did yes. something
said
bad?
Said a thing about a guy. Okay, Marvin in Milwaukee. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello.
Hello. Well, if the Republicans had any courage, they'd come out and support the sequester because they'd say then that the private sector will fill the gap where the government fallout is. And so they don't have the courage to basically preach what they campaigned about.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously this sort of theory that they espoused during the campaigns doesn't work or they don't actually believe in. Otherwise, they have the political courage to support the sequester and actually austerity, which this is, really, right?
Yep.
And we see how austerity has failed in Europe.
Yeah.
But they don't have the balls to come out and support what they campaign about.
Oh, dear.
It just frustrates
yep,
me up
yep.
here in Milwaukee.
Yeah.
Because we've lost breweries over these idiots and their export app. Blah. Oh, I'm sorry about that.
That's
I need
right.
to crack open a Schlitz and get back to where things used to be.
Do they still make Schlitz, Marvin?
Marvin, I love you. Do they?
Oh,
he's going to crack open a Schlitz. Obviously, it
yeah.
does still exist.
Apparently.
Okay.
I didn't know that.
Okay. All right. Somebody send me a Jenny Cream Ale. Let's go to Ellen in Minnesota. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Ellen.
Hi. Good morning, Stephanie.
Good morning.
I just want you to know I love your show.
Thank you.
Yesterday you mentioned that the reason the deficit had doubled was because Obama put the war cost on the books. And it really shocked me because I have never heard this information before, and I think people need to know this. This needs to get out there. And my second thing is, did you see Keith Ellison on Sean Hannity?
I've heard. I can't wait. I'm down my soundbite list. I can't wait to get to it. I've heard from almost everybody about it. Was it amazing?
I just saw a piece of it. I didn't watch Sean Hannity. I never watched. That show is not, you know, we can't get Fox on our TV. My husband refuses to have it on.
Yeah.
But
you
anyway,
have a Fox blocker.
You got the Fox blocker. Yeah, yeah. All right, you know what, Ellen? We'll do it next. We'll do Right Wing World next, all right? So stay tuned.
Great. Keep
all right.
Good work.
All right, honey. You too. All right. You know, the more important? Well, first of all, they're going to have to cut back everybody. First responders, if the sequestration, and Mike, Rocky Mountain Mike, wants us to know. FYI, due to the snow, schools are closed today in Sheboygan.
Oh, no.
Right? Our three favorite words. That's the only reason he sent that information.
Yeah.
Sheboygan. 45 minutes after the hour, Right Wing World, including the awesome Keith Ellison
hold on.
On Sean Hannity stuff. As we continue.
Hold on 1 second.
Oh, do you want me to?
Please stand by.
Keep. Oh, please stand by. The Stephanie Miller Show has experienced technical difficulties. Chris's computer.
Okay, we got it.
Okay, we'll be right back with Right Wing World on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Join the party. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 50 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Lloyd in Florida, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Lloyd.
Hi, good morning, Stephanie.
Good morning.
I just wanted to let you know I've become a really, really big fan of your show. I think you guys are great.
Thank you, Lloyd.
One thing real quick, the false equivalents of the media. They've all adopted the Fox News model where they set up a false equivalency and then for like the next 5 minutes, they just sit there with opposing views and scream at each other. And
yep.
They do it again in the next segment. Then they do it again in the next segment.
Yep.
So by the end of the day, you really have no clue who's right, who's wrong, unless you're aware. Other than that, you're just sitting there looking at people screaming at each other.
Yeah, well, I mean, and it's the sequestration law is a perfect example where they say, oh, both sides are equally valid. And they're no, the president, Democrats have offered all of these spending cuts. They're saying, oh, well, they won't meet them. They have met them more than halfway. And anyway.
Yeah.
All right, let's dive into the Right Wing World and get some more, shall we, kids? Rush Limbaugh on the president.
How is it that Obama wins elections and has massive public approval mm-hmm. when everybody disagrees with his agenda? When the majority think the country's headed in the wrong direction, and yet he wins election and is a positive approval number. How's this happen? And there's only one answer, and that is that people do not associate Obama's agenda with conditions in the country. People do not associate Obama's policies with the status of the country, because Obama is never seen as governing. Obama is constantly seen as campaigning.
Wow. Actually, if you check just about every poll, people think the country's headed in the wrong direction
because of Republicans.
Exactly.
There's another side to the story.
Wow. I thought he was getting to, like, a stolen election conspiracy theory or something, or the numbers are wrong again.
Unfortunately not.
Whatever. All the polls are wrong?
No.
No? Okay. Andrew Napolitano, Fox News.
The president has an obligation under the Constitution to make the federal government work and to make it do the things that we have hired it to do. You can't get on an airplane without going through the TSA. The plane can't get in the air without an air traffic controller. The country will not stay free and safe without soldiers. These are far more important than other operations of the government from which he could cut in order to keep those operations that we rely on every day at full force. This is almost an impeachable offense. If the president is deciding how to spend money in order to hurt us rather than in order to provide us with the services for which we have paid and for which we have hired him, he is doing the opposite of what he has taken an oath to do.
So in other words, if we just get rid of Medicare and Social Security and infrastructure spending, then everything will be fine.
Let me get this straight. The Republicans are going to cause a sequestration and then impeach Obama over the effects of it.
Yes, which they implemented.
That is rich.
Wow.
Okay. Jessica Yellen.
I bet she is.
Yeah? On the, she's straight news CNN reporters.
That's
there,
right.
Yes.
This is not the kind of speech the president would deliver if he thought this a deal was going to get hammered out this week, because it was so clearly partisan. It was such an aggressive attack of blaming Republicans for the stalemate and clearly setting up the blame if those cuts are triggered on Friday and saying it's because of House Republicans.
Well,
that
is
not the kind of environment to create if you think you're on the verge of a deal.
But it is because of House Republicans.
See what I mean? This is the mainstream. This is supposed to be the liberal media?
Yeah. Okay. God. Yeah, she is yelling.
Yes.
That's right.
Yes, indeed.
If you're not right, at least be loud.
Right.
No, sure.
Okay, Laura Ingraham on Fox and Friends.
Battered press syndrome. They're all suffering from it. They need to shake themselves.
Jessica,
should we tell them that he's just not that into you? Yeah, he's just not that into you. Well, he's used them. It's like the one night stand that lasted for 4 years. He got reelected. He got what he wanted. So, you know, sweetheart, I'll leave your payment on the table, and I'm gone. I mean, I'm sorry.
It's like a Love Obama
style. It's embarrassing.
Wow.
Oh, we're the president's whore, the whole country? Is that what he's what she's saying?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because we voted for him.
Wow. Oh, I see. So right, it equals whore. If you voted for Obama, you're
our whore.
A whore.
A dirty,
dirty,
good for nothing whore.
Okay. Who will be played by Anne Hathaway in a movie?
Sure.
All right. Sean, this is like, we've been waiting for this. Oh, how much do we love Keith Ellison?
We love him.
The rockin' congressman from the great state of Minnesota. With us, Sean Hannity, last night.
Democratic Congressman Keith Ellison of Minnesota. Congressman, welcome back, sir.
You bet.
I guess that's what we could describe as staying on message, something the Democratic Party, I would argue, is very good at. Let me ask
you're pretty good at it, too.
Thank you.
You know, quite frankly, you are the worst excuse for a journalist I've ever seen. I was there August 2011 when the Republicans, your party, which you shamelessly represent.
Let me correct the record.
You are nothing but a Republican.
Yes, you are. Sir,
You are a shill for the Republican Party.
I am a registered
and
conservative,
you alibi
sir.
Them constantly. You alibi them 100% of the time.
And then, when have you ever not voted for a Republican, ever?
Exactly. But I guess New York has this weird rule where you can register as a conservative and
tricky?
Not a... Yeah.
Sure.
So,
I'm sure he voted for Obama twice.
Mm-hmm. And then it went on and on and on, and Sean Hannity eventually kicked him off.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Rock on, Keith Ellison! Woohoo! Okay, Steve Schmidt, a Republican consultant on MSNBC.
Look, this CPAC convention is increasingly the Star Wars bar scene of the conservative movement. I mean, all that's missing at that convention is a couple of Wookiees. You know, look, Chris Christie's the most effective conservative governor in the country. He's done a fantastic job. He's somebody that could potentially change the electoral map. When you look at the dysfunction going on in government with the sequester, it makes a very compelling case for a Chris Christie candidacy because he's an adult.
Oh, he just accepted the Medicaid expansion the CPAC called, and they are
disappointed.
Okay, he's cordially disinvited from CPAC.
Uh-huh.
There he is again. All right. Oh God, how much fun is this Republican war going on?
They're in such disarray. It's
awesome. Awesome, awesome. Mike in Florida. Hello, Mike.
Hey, Stephanie, I'm so glad to talk to you.
You too, go ahead.
I want to say first I'm an Obama and Stephanie whore.
Oh, good, good. Well, okay. Thank you.
Yeah, and
thank you. Take
I
it.
Want to say something's been puzzling me for some time when these Republicans want to talk about the tax code and how it doesn't need to be fixed. Well, I have two daughters, and between my two daughters, I have eight beautiful grandchildren.
Oh, yeah.
Each of my grandchildren are worth $3,500 at the deduction. But Ann Romney has a $77,000 deduction for
her horse,
a dancing horse,
for Rafalka. Oh, I've missed Rafalka.
Who ironically came in 77th.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think they may have disposed of Rafalka because Rafalka was of no use to them anymore.
Glue. Okay. 58 minutes after the hour. Hal Sparks next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
I'm walking on sunshine. Whoa, I'm walking on sunshine. Whoa, and I feel good. Hey, Stephanie Miller Show, 6 minutes after the hour. Oh, God, yes, Wednesdays. Oh. Oh, yeah.
Steffi.
Oh, what's that heavy breathing I hear? Why? Could it be? Hump Days with Hal Sparks.
Yes.
Sexy liberal Hal Sparks. Hello, Hal Sparks.
Hello. Oh, that
all right.
Just feels
ladies,
so
you can
good.
Get a little of that, bit of that on stage April 13th at
that's
the Chicago
right.
Theater, Sexy Liberal.
I insist.
There you go. Get your tickets going fast. By the way,
yes.
Somebody, a special tribute to you. You know we're currently obsessed with the Screaming Goats.
Yes, right.
And they're mixed with everybody now, Taylor Swift and mm-hmm. pretty much everybody.
Bon Jovi yesterday, yeah.
But listener Steve wanted to mix them with, you know.
01.
Wow. Doesn't sound half bad, actually.
No, it doesn't.
That single came out Monday.
Did it?
You can buy it on iTunes now.
It dropped, is what you're saying?
Yes. American Psycho by 01. I feel like...
they call it American Psycho.
Psycho, that's awesome. Hooray
that's what,
for
by
awesome.
The way, that's what the females in the crowd at Sexy Liberal sound like.
That's right.
That's true. Yeah, you
it's
can barely hear me singing sometimes when you see me play live with the band, you know. We actually taped a show at the House of Blues, and we're filming, you know, from we have people in the audience filming it or whatever. Well, we're using the audio that's on there, and we've got the board thing. Well, all the audio from the cameras, there's a woman next to the person singing, bless her heart, totally off key, but mouthing my exact words. So there, you can hear this woman's voice almost like this weird lip sync overlay, flat, and the words are right. Except in a couple of places, like you do in your car. But
right.
Most of the time, you're right. And I was amazed. I was, like, very impressed and yet sort of sad. Like,
and sort of horrified.
Yes, right. But,
yeah.
But it still looked good, so I don't care.
Aww.
That's the important thing.
Someone once brought, you remember, a tape of me singing I Need a Lover and played it for Pat Benatar in her dressing room.
Yes.
And that was the look on her face, just sort of... kind of shock,
abject horror.
Shock, horror, kind of nausea, a little bit of...
Well, I'm glad it affected you that way.
Okay.
I'm glad
right.
you feel...
Gosh,
you know,
better to look good than to sound
good. Those radio station bands are good, aren't they?
Yeah.
Ooh. What was the name of the band?
The Lobster Band. WCMF. That was our in Rochester. It was our mascot, the Lobster.
Not the GD
WCMF Lobster.
Known for lobsters, that area?
Was it like Lobster 106 or something like that?
I don't remember why.
K-Lob,
somebody from Rochester
K-O-B.
Tell me why.
The Lobster.
The Lobster.
Rock Lobster, served up daily with the butter of hits. Something like that.
There goes the Narwhal.
I'm not wrong. Yeah, right.
Right? Okay.
The K-N-R-W-L.
The Narwhal.
The Narwhal of rock. Your best alternative hits in the 70s, 80s, and... Thank you.
House version is my favorite comedy toy. Yay!
Squeeze me and jokes come out.
Okay.
Most of the time.
How about some facts mixed in with your jokes?
Oh, okay. I do that.
The deficit is actually falling dramatically. Uh-huh. Only 6% know that.
Yes.
Isn't that great?
It's
John Kerry's right. Being American is the right to be stupid. Herp.
Yeah, that's exactly the problem. I think that 94% of people have no idea that the deficit was 1.3 when the president came in, and it's 8.56 million now, billion now, and it's on its way down. And if it goes any faster down, it will actually have a detrimental effect on the. Think of it as why you don't pay off your house at a certain point because of the taxes you would pay. It's a similar effect.
I've got a handy dandy graph, which I just showed the camera. Dave Johnson posts, there is no deficit problem. The deficit is down about 50% as a share of gross domestic products since President Bush's fiscal year 2009.
Mm-hmm.
Deficit is falling at the fastest rate. Where's my joke bomb sound effect?
Yeah.
Falling at the fastest rate since the end of World War II.
Yeah.
Which is why we have to cut spending immediately.
The Washington debate is about how and where to cut us back into recession. Why? Congress should just repeal the sequester. We don't need it. We have 10 years to fix the long-term deficit situation.
Mm-hmm, right.
We should not be stampeded by deficit scare propaganda. Instead, take the time to carefully consider the right approach. That way, we won't make the same mistakes that Europe is making.
And the same mistake that FDR made in 1937 when he listened to the deficit hawks.
Right, and almost plunged him back into the depression again.
Yeah.
They barely escaped that one.
Bloomberg News commissioned a survey asking Americans whether they believed the budget deficit was growing or shrinking. Just 6% answered the question correctly. 94% had no clue, and 62% actually thought it was getting bigger.
Right.
And they all watched Fox News.
They all thought Leon was getting larger.
For the record, after the Depression and after every major recession, and even after a lot of the bubbles, the tech bubble, the housing bubble, this austerity tactic on different levels has been tried, and it usually is a skimming effect by the people who are in the 2%. You panic the public into cutting back on essential services and that kind of stuff, dipping unemployment for a while. You can scrape off like another 5% of profits and then let it go back to its normal set. It's just a manufactured problem.
It is. They have really gone off the crazy train. We just played someone in Right Wing World saying that when these sequester cuts cut in, they should impeach the president over the effects of them. The sequestration that they're called.
Yeah, that there's video of Paul Ryan going, this is the most awesomest thing ever. Yeah. I'm paraphrasing, but not by much.
More fun facts about why everything Republicans are saying about the sequester is wrong.
Yes.
The GOP claims government spending out of control and reason that reducing spending would spur a greater economic growth. No. But government expenditures have grown at the slowest pace since the Eisenhower administration under President Obama, and the latest projections from the CBO show the nation's deficits have shrunk, as we just said, by trillions of dollars. The debt is close to being stabilized as a percentage of the economy. Austerity measures have dragged down economic growth in Europe, as we just said. Some economists argue the deficit since fiscal contraction caused by sequestration is likely to slow economic growth, reducing tax revenue, and preventing meaningful deficit reduction. So it actually achieves the opposite of what they're...
Which is exactly why we have to cut spending. It's whatever's
good. Get off your ass!
Get off your ass! Do what I want!
Republicans now considering legislation that would leave Obama and federal agencies with the responsibility of carving out waste and unnecessary spending.
Good.
While preserving critical government services. In reality, the problem isn't one of authority. Programs will see their budgets cut at anywhere from 2 to 10%, and most will be unable to salvage services and only target inefficiencies. The Republican replacement is just another effort to implement spending reductions without increasing revenues, and then blame Obama for the consequences.
That's right.
Right. Well, I think the way they're getting away with part of this conversation, and they're losing, you know, if you're looking at the polls, the Republicans are losing this argument. But where they do probably have a 8 to 10% poll margin of error is in the area that new revenues, the $400 billion in new revenues, because it's about $1 trillion in cuts that they need to cut out of. They've got $600 in cuts already. The extra $400 is the sticking point, and that should come in the form of revenues.
Right.
And the elimination of those revenues are not coming in the form of new taxes. They are coming in the form of eliminating loopholes that, A, are unnecessary, and subsidies, which are offensive on a fiscal level. Like, if you believe in fiscal responsibility, the idea of not letting an oil company pay taxes in the first place, giving them every possible reason to pay zero taxes, and then giving them a subsidy so they can continue working, and then let them, in the case of a bunch of these, take their spills that they've done, those costs of cleaning up the spill, and use that as a tax deduction.
Right.
And we're the taxpayers.
That's right.
Okay. And another good point they make here, these are very modest cuts. Think Progress pointing out the reductions may not mean much for wealthy congressmen, but states will lose funding for education, job training, health care, a plethora of other services, jeopardizing assistance for low-income and middle-class families alike, and threatening the economic recovery. Cuts will undermine everything from border security to screening of containers. All this stuff they scream about, security, amnesty, like they don't care about any of that.
No, they don't. Or just care about their side winning.
It could cost the economy close to 1 million jobs over the next 2 years. Democrats have rejected the GOP sequester replacement bill. That's the other charge they're making. Republicans in the House passed a sequester replacement in the last Congress that doesn't raise any new revenue, includes cuts in food stamps, Medicaid, social services, stuff that they know is a non-starter.
Right, but also you say that their argument from the Glenn Beck, Rush Limbaugh, Dennis Miller argument would be, you say that like it's a bad thing. Ultimately, the reason why these red states want more control over their pocketbooks from the federal aid that they get, they want to get money from the federal government but spend it any way they want. The reason they want to do that is they can cut social services to such an extent that all the poor people in their state move to the next state, move to the blue state next door, so that they literally, it's their way of sort of outsourcing poverty to the state that will take care of them. It's a very Christian way of living. But the idea is that if you're from Oklahoma and you don't make above minimum wage, or you don't make, you know, if you have a kid and you're trying to raise them on the minimum wage or whatever, you're not a productive member of society, move to Illinois. And that's really what they think.
Yeah.
Right.
And this is part of that strategy almost on a federal level. They think the same will apply to immigration. You know, the idea that that's where self-deportation came from Mitt Romney's.
By the way, have you watched any of Rick Perry's commercials urging you to move from California to Texas?
Right, exactly.
Come get a Whataburger job.
Yeah.
Come.
Yeah, because that's what Californians want to do is move to Texas.
Texas.
Right, yeah.
Yes.
Like Austin's seeing a boom. But they're
and
all...
you pointed out at Sexy Liberal in Austin, there's only one reason people stay in Austin because of...
Austinite, right. Yeah, Austinite is not the kind of person that lives there. It's actually a kryptonite-like thing that keeps regular Texans away. They they hit it like a...
Right.
Ow!
Right.
I don't understand why I can't go in there, man. Come on. That's weird. Every time I touch up against it, I feel like gay people aren't so bad and women should get equal pay. It's weird. I gotta leave.
It's like Austin has seceded from Texas.
Right.
Right when he's kicking into Austin because of...
Yeah, Austinite. Yeah. The power of
trademark, Hal Sparks.
Thank you. It's like a chain around their neck like in Superman 1, just pulling them under the water.
Okay, 17. See, I had to set them up like that. Yes. Like a volleyball game.
Yeah, right, like a T-ball stick.
19 minutes after the hour, back with more Hump Days with Hal Sparks on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Mm-hmm.
The mere fact that I have a breathy voice, full sensual lips, and a steaming hot body doesn't make me a bimbo.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
Oh, yeah. 24 minutes after the hour. Well, I know women today will not need the TheraBreath mouth wetting lozenges because they're already drooling over Hal Sparks. Mm. However, some of you may need TheraBreath mouthwash and toothpaste. Nothing works faster, lasts longer at knocking out bad breath than TheraBreath. We love it. TheraBreath mouthwash and toothpaste available at Target, Walmart, Walgreens, and other fine stores. Hooray.
Ding.
Hooray. Bling.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Hump Days with Sexy Liberal Hal Sparks.
It's true.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay. I was just going to say, you know, Michelle Bachmann has been our comedy binky at the Sexy Liberal Show.
She really
I've missed
has.
Her so. And thank God she's given an interview.
Another one?
Yes.
Oh, boy.
Well, she's still on the ironically named Intelligence Committee, which is amazing.
She touts her flawless run for the presidency. She said, I didn't get anything wrong.
Mm. But she lost. She lost hard.
Here's my favorite part. When asked about the inevitability of gay marriage, Bachmann stood up from her chair. Uh-oh.
Oh, no.
To say that heterosexual marriage is immune.
Paul Jehovah God.
Paul Jehovah God. The end is near.
You are Jehovah God.
You are Jehovah God. You know what? You don't want to activate the rapture bot.
No.
Right. Ron Paul did that once when he said something about Israel. Oh, Jehovah God. Okay, when asked about the inevitability of gay marriage, Bachmann stood up from her chair to say that heterosexual marriage is immutable and the basis of our society between men and women.
Uh-huh.
I won't be deviating. And what does Marcus think? How does he feel?
I'm super. Thanks for nothing. All things considered, I couldn't be better, I must say. I'm feeling super.
Okay.
Nothing bugs me. Everything is super when you're... Don't you think I look cute in this hat?
For the record, anybody who, of course, caught my special Charmageddon, where I make the case that the only way that gay marriage could ruin your heterosexual marriage is if you're gay, I think this is an act of marriage preservation, as it were, on the part of Michelle Bachmann. Because if gay marriage becomes legal, guys like the one she's perhaps a relationship with might have other options than to marry women like her who don't want to have a true connection necessarily with the bird. Yeah, so there you go.
Wow. If anything, God forbid, ever happened, they got divorced, she'd be like, is that nice Peter Allen available?
Right, yeah.
She's the Liza Minnelli of politics.
Well, I mean, there was that entire, like, I guess, class of women who believed that Liberace was straight and stuck to it until the bitter end.
Yes. I was convinced I was going to marry Paul Lynde.
There was a TV guide.
So was I, actually, but that was only a couple of years.
There was a TV guide in the 1950s with a picture of Liberace on the cover. Says, when will Liberace marry?
Mm-hmm.
When will he find the right girl?
Settle down.
If he can live to 2015?
She explained that no matter what humans think, God created marriage, and that is unquestionable.
Actually, it's quite questionable.
Yeah,
actually,
man created marriage.
Yeah, man created marriage because Adam and Eve were not married.
Right.
Here's a surprising thing. She was asked who her favorite contemporary singer is. Beyonce. Beyonce seems sort of like from the devil, doesn't she?
Trust me, after a night with Marcus,
Marcus put a ring on that.
Yeah, right. That's what I mean. After a night with Marcus, you're jumping around singing all the single ladies. Like, all the single ladies.
I'm guessing she frequently comes home and he's dancing to Beyonce.
Arguably, by the way, in Michelle's...
Marcus! Stop it!
All the single Marcus. All the single Marcus.
If there were any questions she would have answered differently if given a chance to do over. Any do-overs? She said she wished she'd gotten John Wayne's birthplace right and Elvis Presley's birthday correct.
Yeah.
Those John Wayne Gacy.
But she said those are the only questions she wants to do over because I was right about all the others.
But she lost. She lost hard.
To her defense, though, she was a woman running in a Republican primary. She never had a chance. Not ever. Honestly, they wanted to rewrite the Iowa straw poll because she won, because a woman won. Like, they want to eliminate it. The same way that they're doing with, like, voting rights in Pennsylvania and Michigan and places like that, where they want to make sure that black people don't get a representative number of votes by gerrymandering districts. They are literally doing the same thing with the women in their own party. Michelle Bachmann won the Iowa straw poll. The first talk when all this was over was eliminate the Iowa straw poll. It's not an accident. Yeah. And secondly, Michelle Bachmann's thing about God creating marriage, arguably...
Make an electoral transvaginal probe?
Created the first open relationship, arguably, and the first divorce, because according to the true biblical story, he created Lilith first.
Yeah,
she was too mouthy, and so he let her go off and form all those other people that Cain and Abel's kids later had sex with. And then he made Eve out of his bones, so she would just be quiet and do whatever.
Lilith there.
Yes.
That whole thing seems a little illogical.
The end.
Wow.
29 minutes after the hour.
And
more
sleep.
Hump Days with Hal on the Stephanie Miller Show.
This is the lowest I've ever sunk, and I once made out with
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. Hump Days with Sexy Liberal Hal Spark.
Yes. And by the way, that's the kind of music that's made by people who have stacked keyboards encircling them at a concert.
Right. That was Madonna. Give it to me.
Yeah, but the guy playing it? One up here, one down here. The dude is in like a horseshoe of keyboards.
Right. Like, why can't you? I mean, MIDI lets you split a keyboard into. You only need eight keys of each.
Yeah, wrong? The keyboard is for Asia.
Right. Totally.
Yeah.
Speaking of music, we fell way down the Screaming Goats music rabbit hole yesterday.
Right.
Who did we have? Screaming Goats and Taylor Dane.
Uh-huh.
In Mitt Romney singing America the Beautiful. Bon Jovi.
Yep.
Taylor Dane.
Yeah.
Two different Taylor Dane songs.
Jane Child.
Wow.
Yes.
Which one? Welcome to the Real World or I Don't Want to Fall in Love?
I Don't Want to Fall in Love.
We love Jane Child, by the way.
Howard Dean versus a Screaming Goat.
Yeah.
And now Cameron and Charlotte says, Steph, one might wonder what an argument between an enraged goat and an enraged Dana Loesch would sound like. All right. I hope you're happy, Cameron.
When are we going to play a Julia Child song?
We have way too many listeners with entirely too much free time.
And you know what? We oblige them.
And we do.
Yes.
As immature as we are.
Who know how to use GarageBand.
Yeah.
All right. The president yesterday talked
more than 2,000 college students would lose their financial aid. Delays at airports across the country.
tens of thousands of parents will have to scramble to find child care for their kids.
And you know who's going to be hit really hard by the sequester? Republican states.
Yeah. Oops. Yeah. Oops.
But they're, you know, they've already got, you know, Fox will make sure that those people blame Obama for it. The rest of the country who's actually thinking about the long-term health of the country,
right,
instead of the short-term, you know, like principled pop of being a Tea Partier. I've got a tricorn hat. I must be right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Senator John Barrasso, Republican, Wyoming.
The sky is falling, all in an effort to try to scare Congress and scare the American people into doing what he wants, which is raising taxes.
On rich people
right,
who are not paying their fair share.
Well, the other thing is not raising taxes, getting them to pay the same taxes you pay.
Right.
That's the difference. You can't write that off. They can. That's not right. That's
by the way,
not right.
He ran and won on going back to the Clinton tax rates of, above 250, and he only got to 450.
Right.
Okay. Representative Eric Cantor.
Now the president says we can't have any progress on this sequester unless we get the second tax hike in 8 weeks. In 8 weeks. That's not compromise. Then he says your choice is going to be taking criminals off, letting criminals out of jails and onto the streets, or give me a tax increase. That's not compromise. That's a false choice.
I don't understand
so immature. Seriously, we are the most immature adults I know.
I don't understand why we can't just keep prisoners in jail for free while still making sure that old people don't die in the street. I don't. That's a false choice, Mr. President. I think we can have both for free.
Old people are going to die anyway.
Why don't we just make them into mulch now?
Why don't we just let loose the kids? Why don't we let the prisoners loose and point them at the old people? We could kill two birds with one stone, Mr. President.
So
that's compromise. That's compromise. How did I get elected in Virginia with this voice? I don't understand.
I don't remember. Daryl in Michigan, you're on with Hal. Hi, Daryl.
Hey, hello.
Hello.
Love your show.
Thank
you. Hal, what's up?
Hi, yeah.
I just wanted to say, company is a 6 percenter. Well, I can't make up my mind if I'm a 47 percenter or a 6 percenter.
Okay.
I do know that deficits have shrunk.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard Morning Joe, he was blabbing on about deficit, and then he threw debt in as deficit. And it's the bait and switch they use all the time.
Yeah, two different things. Yep.
Debt is what George W. Bush exploded. Deficit is what our president.
The cost of managing it is going to be, essentially. Yeah, if you create a $1.4 trillion overall direct cost from the Iraq and Afghanistan wars, and then you have to lay off the payments for that debt onto your yearly budget, that's the deficit. Mm-hmm. There it is. Two wars of choice. Poorly mismanaged. John Kerry's now Secretary of State, and he's the guy who said we should have handled Al-Qaeda like a law enforcement problem, which is exactly how we ended up getting Osama bin Laden.
Thank you. By the way, we salute a new Secretary of Defense, Chuck Hagel.
Finally.
The three-month battle over his nomination ended with a whimper yesterday.
Right.
A victory of sorts for the White House. One Republican Senate aide said very few people ever thought you could actually prevent Hagel from being confirmed. In the realm of the possible, this is as close to a win as you can get.
What about Benghazi?
They just hope to wound him, I guess, and weaken him.
Well, I mean, they operate on a principle that, that's not compromise. And then anybody who actually works with, you know, even bringing Republican principles to match with the Democratic principles and go, we can find some middle ground and work together as adults.
Compromise.
John McCain's calling him an ex-Republican.
They cannot get over that he was right about Iraq. And they
totally.
Mm-hmm. Except I love this guy. Remember Representative Walter Jones, Republican of North Carolina? Mm-hmm. He was the Freedom Prize guy.
Oh, right.
That guy. He suggested to a libertarian group that former Vice President Dick Cheney will likely end up in a fiery place for his role in the Iraq War. He said Congress will not hold anyone to blame. Lyndon Johnson's probably rotting in hell right now because of the Vietnam War. He probably needs to move over for Dick Cheney.
Ooh. Except Dick Cheney's
freedom
already underground.
Guy.
Right.
Yeah.
So.
Yes. God. Yeah. Yeah. That's Freedom Prize.
I want to send that guy some French fries. Where can we send him from? Whatever.
Really, really
Belgium.
French fries.
Oh, yeah. With a copy of a biography of Thomas Jefferson about the time he spent in France reading the Koran.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Tony in Florida. You're on with Hal. Hi, Tony.
Hi there. How are you?
Good.
Hi.
Good. Can you hear me
all
right?
Yep. Yes. Go ahead.
I didn't know if you'd seen anything yet, but Collier County, Florida, which is down South Florida, Naples area.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yesterday,
where Ray Finkel is from.
Yesterday they just passed that they will enforce the Second Amendment, and should any federal laws come down to change it, they are not going to abide. I just thought that was rather interesting. I didn't know if anybody had heard about it yet. But,
yeah, there's a couple of municipalities around the country who think that they can supersede the Constitution or the regulation of any element of the Constitution.
With the "you're not the boss of us" amendments.
Right, which,
right.
By the way, if you're thinking about opening a porn shop attached to a brothel, that would be Collier County would be a good place to do it right now, since you can supersede the, you know, First Amendment limitations on what you can say in public and what activities you can participate in public. Apparently those rules don't apply either, because if you're going to supersede federal regulation of limitations on the Second Amendment, then you can supersede every other one, and you have a legal precedent to do so. You could actually you could sell cigarettes to kids and alcohol to kids. You could
and what's wrong with that?
You could allow 12-year-olds to vote.
Dana in Maryland, you're on with Hal. Go ahead.
Hi everybody, how are you?
Good, go ahead.
Good. Steph, your nails look great. Love the color.
Thank you. I have new gels today. Thank you so much. You noticed.
Okay, that color is a lot better than the previous colors.
So much better than the, yeah.
Thank you.
Pink is Pepto-Bismol.
Yeah, it was Pepto-Bismol.
Thank you.
On the upside, though, if she got an upset stomach, she could just lick her fingers
exactly.
And
yeah, she just chew it off. Chris, thank you for the fab recommendation. I got a "No One Puts Baby in a Corner" t-shirt.
Awesome. Hooray.
It came in like a day.
Good.
Fantastic.
Fantastic.
Jim, I was waiting till today to hear you do boner saying ass. I was dreaming about it last night.
Get off your ass.
Like,
get off your ass.
Get off your ass. What for are there?
And he just, I mean, he said like, what, 5 words? I think he was hammered.
He's
so
always
hammered. Eric Cantor had to like step in.
No one captures that drunken lisp like Jim does.
No, and he's, yeah, it's perfect. It's beautiful. And how, you know, we spoke on Saturday about abortion.
Right.
Good news, the Arkansas governor passed the 20-week, or vetoed the 20-week
right.
law.
Oh, and so Indiana dialed back their vaginal
did.
Ultrasound
they,
to just having one
yes,
forced
oh,
ultrasound.
It.
Awesome.
They
and you.
It. That's the bad news. So,
yeah, instead of two.
But the Arkansas governor vetoed it, and, you know, we just one step forward, one step back.
Yeah.
We have to keep doing
that's
this.
Right.
And then my last comment, Paul Rand on Sean Hannity. And Sean Hannity, like, you know, don't forget, you can only have 7 bullets in your gun. Oi.
Right.
Oy. Right? Oi.
All right, Dave.
Oi.
Yeah. What if you have 8 members of your family? How are you supposed to kill yourself
right.
after? Like, I mean, that's arguably, that's the argument. How many, what if 9 cops show up at my door? I mean, that's
right.
what they're talking about.
Right.
This is the thing. If you can't, there's no intruder worth more than 3 shots. If you, especially if you live with a family, if you have kids in the next room, you don't go, "Who's here? Pow, pow, pow." I mean, arguably, and that's the Oscar Pistorius, that's the defense. She
right.
was in the closed off toilet section of the bathroom. He took the time apparently to put on his legs
yes.
and walk over and shoot through the door in the wall. You cannot tell me a conversation didn't happen there. Did you?
Yes.
I mean, that's
that's what I said. I didn't really believe. The first thing you do go, "Honey, are you? Is that you?
Who is that?
Hey, honey, I hear something."
I want to make sure I'm shooting you and not a
right.
poor intruder.
But you know what? You can speculate about all of that now.
But
when
the
bathroom
door was locked.
But when you're
why
in that situation,
oh, right.
you kind of act on instinct.
No, you don't. It, not when you have to put your legs on and walk
but
across the room.
But he says he didn't have his legs on. I don't know if that's
he didn't. He didn't have his legs on, and he put them on, and he went over. He moved across the room. There's like 9 steps in 2 minutes between where she was in the bathroom. Like, and it's... Your first, look in the bed!
How do we get to this? Exactly!
Wow!
Hey,
look,
feel in the bed! Hey, honey! Oh, it's you!
Yeah,
right,
right. Yeah, exactly. Oh.
This wasn't on the topic list today.
No!
It doesn't,
it was not.
But it does tie to the whole gun issue
it
of it and having 7
yeah,
shots
yeah,
in your gun
right.
or not and
well,
why.
There was a study, the, you know, mayors against
yeah.
illegal guns just came out with about how many times women are the victim of gun violence, and it's always this, an ex, a boyfriend, a husband, a significant other, whatever. So
or takes their gun from them, or knows they have right. a gun in the house and uses it against them. You don't have to bring a gun to the place. They use the gun to threaten her. To like it, the sexual assault is actually done with her gun.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yep.
Or
yep.
that woman whose kid shot himself with her pink gun because he thought it was a toy.
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly. All right. I enjoyed that little detour. I don't care what
the
you
point
say. You're not the boss of the topics.
The
45 minutes after the hour. Right back. More Hump Days with Hal Sparks on the Stephanie Miller Show.
You're going to have a gun. Use it. Learn how to use it.
I got her number off the men's room stall. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
This hour of the Stephanie Miller Show brought to you by GoToMyPC. Access your entire work computer from your smartphone or your tablet like we do with the GoToMyPC mobile apps. They're amazing. Try GoToMyPC free for 45 days. For my special offer, visit GoToMyPC.com. Click on the Try It Free button. Enter the promo code Stephanie. Hal Sparks with some interesting film fun facts.
Yeah.
Hal, would you like to share with the whole class?
Well, first of all, I would like to personally thank Vegas Jesse, who calls herself Tea Party Crasher on she actually noticed that I made a Ace Ventura reference.
Right.
Because if you'll recall, Collier County is where Ray Finkel is from,
okay.
who later turns out to be Sean Young with a sex change or in drag or whatever. There's a very featured shotgun scene in Collier County. If you'll recall, it goes like this. I don't know how well it'll sound, but you'll hear it.
Okay.
Hi, I'm looking for Ray Finkel. And a clean pair of shorts.
So that,
Alrighty then.
There's a shotgun in his face. But he was the first and ever left-footed kicker, I guess, to come out of Collier Hi.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Wow, we. All right, but so you said he based the character on?
Oh, yes. Ace Ventura is based on a bird. Jim Carrey actually based all the movements, the hairstyle, the fact that he's wearing toucan color clothing on a bird. And when he met Anthony Hopkins said he based Hannibal Lecter on animals as well. He based him on an alligator and a snake, I think. With
wow.
a two Or a spider. That's what it was. An
Thank
alligator
you, Uncle Hal.
And a spider.
You know all we
what
care about.
What does he do, this
yes.
man, you see?
Goats.
Yeah.
We're currently, well, I don't know why. Oh, because Taylor Dane wore my era than Taylor Swift, so somebody had to send me.
All skate. Everyone skate.
Okay. And here's some fun facts from Chris and Yankton.
Oh,
Steph,
okay.
This week in 1988, Taylor Dane, Prove Your Love, moved up 13 notches to number 60 in its second week on the Billboard Hot 100. Tell It to My Heart fell 7 notches to number 46 in its 21st week.
Tell It to My Heart, dedicated to Charles, who just had his chest removed surgically.
For the record, here at the top 5 that week, George Michael's father figure. Number 2, Pet Shop Boys, What Have I Done to Deserve This? Number 3, Patrick Swayze, She's Like the Wind. She's Like the Wind.
Happy
oh,
Valentine's.
Number 4, Rick Astley's Never Gonna Give You Up. And number 5, Eric Carmen's Hungry Eyes from Dirty Dancing. Thank you, Chris.
Dirty Dancing was apparently really huge 20 years ago.
Absolutely. Which is why Patrick Swayze could have a single the same week.
Right.
She's Like the Wind.
She's like
oh, that was
room.
Awful. That was awful.
Awesome.
It was no heartbeat. But.
Oh, God.
Don Johnson.
Don Johnson, yes.
Oh, wow.
Heartbeat. I'll sleep with anything with a heartbeat, apparently, at the time.
He even slept with Barbara Streisand.
Those musical.
He's good in Django Unchained, by the way.
I've heard that.
Fabulous. But you're right. What are you doing? Who am I thinking of? The musical dedication shows. They are ridiculous.
Oh, it's Casey
They're
Kasem.
Completely ridiculous.
Yeah.
Carla would like to send this out. Today.
Who's the comedian we love who does the hilarious bit about the...
about Delilah? Oh, I can't remember.
Oh, Maria Bamford.
Coast.
That's it.
Oh, right.
How are you coasting
What do you
tonight?
Want to say?
Yeah.
About your breakup with Brian.
Right.
That was like... She did the original Screaming Goat.
Yes.
Maria Bamford only sounds normal when she's playing a character.
It's true. Yeah.
That's tough. That's tough. That's tough.
Your weird baby voice.
Yeah.
By the way, she had the only internet series I think that actually worked was the Maria Bamford Show that she did on Funny or Die.
She's hilarious.
You can watch it on YouTube. You have to.
You were talking about gun safety before the break. And a caller called yesterday. It is amazing. There was one caller yesterday that said he went to buy a regular gun, no problem. Went to buy a taser. You need special training.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And a woman called and said she tried to buy pepper spray, and you need to take special training,
oh,
yada,
yeah.
yada. And we're like four spices? Really?
Yeah.
Really?
I'm on your way to Scarborough Fair.
That's a gateway to
I'm on
paprika.
Board.
I've got paprika. Look out.
We're watching you.
You know how to use it.
Arms actually, you know, don't necessarily have to pertain to simply firearms. So if they're arguing that there shouldn't be any licensing regulation, you know, any background checks or any kind of training necessary for that kind of stuff, it's, I mean, why can't we carry samurai swords? Is it too much to ask? I just want a ninja toe. I just want to carry a sword on my back, walking around all the time.
Greg
like
had some comments
nerd.
On the training for Mace. Thank you, Stephanie and the Mooks, for currying favor with the spice jokes. Sage advice, and I'll laugh at them any time. Frankly,
Steve,
people like you are the salt of the earth, and I love the way you pepper us with jokes. Don't handle this topic too gingerly. Let them fly and keep them cumin.
Really?
Really? Really, Greg?
Ouch.
Just awful.
That's, my dad always does that when something sucks. Like that. He did it at a,
That's a dad thing. That's a total dad thing.
Yeah, he makes this. Like that. He did it at a play. We went and saw a play. And
you've been heckled since you were a child.
Yeah. I was 9 years old. My dad takes me to a play so we can be all up, you know, into society. And in the middle of it, he didn't like it, so he went. Like in the middle of the play. Oh, I love my dad.
Oh, God. Oh, Mr. Sparks, you are a scamp like your son.
And you can do it amazingly loud. That's the thing. You can almost hear it, you know, like it makes your spine curl. Like
oh,
my
God.
Come to the house.
I remember I did a play in college, and my character was actually holding a diaphragm. It was like, Uncommon Women and Others.
Uh-huh. Before the vagina monologues.
A bunch of my friends got drunk and came to the thing, and one of them started yelling, "Put it in! Put it in!" And then they got thrown out of the theater.
Of course.
Yeah, it was...
pandemonium.
Some people do not understand theater etiquette.
Well, they also realize, everybody else didn't realize that whatever that person says, you will do.
Yeah, it's also college students.
Awkward.
Right.
College
fourth
student.
Wall in theater. I'm in character.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
College students
don't
should
me.
Never
the character
go to theater.
Would not put this in right now.
Kathy in Nevada, you're on with Hal. Hi, Kathy.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hello.
You know, I love you. You are so smart, cute, and
wise.
But I wanted to go back to Michelle Bachmann.
Mm-hmm.
You know that she, you know, the 27 foster children she took in.
Oh, dear.
You know, she's
or
she
21,
got paid by the
or
government.
22, or 25.
27.
Or 27.
27.
No, the number is fluctuating, is my point. The
but
number.
You know she got roughly $2,000 a month from the government.
Mm-hmm. Oh, dear.
Her child, $2,000 a month.
What a 47% moocher.
Yep.
So that's how she got that marshmallow into that that hospital he has.
Oh,
that marshmallow!
Oh,
oh my God!
What does that mean? What is she referring to?
She's a barbarian and she needs to be disciplined.
That woman does indeed need to be disciplined. That was...
We have to understand, barbarians need to be educated. They need to be disciplined.
Some people are naughty, naughty boys.
Mother, why?
Bad baby, bad baby, bad baby.
Sorry. All right, we are just weird. Hal Sparks.
Yes.
HalSparks.com,
I'm
assuming.
Yeah, you can't go wrong. At Hal Sparks on Twitter, so you can yell at me about the things I said today on there. That's always good. I love getting into Twitter back and forth with anonymous Tea Party trolls.
Yes.
I loved everything you said today. You were on fire,
it's
sir.
It's true.
You are.
And if you want to see that live, you can see it April 13th at Chicago Theater. Get those tickets going fast for Sexy Liberal. Love you.
Love you. Bye.
See you next week. Bye.
Okay.
We'll be back. This is the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, God, I'm going to start gulping water like Marco Rubio. It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 6 minutes after the hour. Why? Look who's here, Lieutenant Governor of California, future governor, future president, author of the new book, Citizenville, Lieutenant Governor Gavin Newsom.
Thank you very much.
California's
thank
here.
You. Honor to be here.
Do
honor
not
to
look
here.
Directly at him. Do not look directly
no.
at him. It's too
we'll
much.
Turn to salt.
Unbelievable. Turn to salt. The brine. Good morning.
Good morning, sir.
What a day in Southern California.
You were just,
what a day for this country. Days before the end of the world as we know it.
Yeah.
March 1st.
Well, we were talking in the break a little bit about sequestration. You were talking about how catastrophic this is going to be.
Well, my fear is it is and it isn't.
Uh-oh. And it, because in many ways it's a slow moving disaster because of the furlough requirements require that you don't lay people off necessarily tomorrow. You need 30-day provisions in most of these union contracts. Most of the school cuts, as acute as they're going to be, most of them, the deepest, happen in the next school year, not immediately. So I just fear a little bit that both sides' posturing can be questioned. And my concern only is veracity at this point, that whatever we say we're going to do, we do. Whatever we say is going to happen, happens, so that we can maintain our moral authority through this regardless.
Well, but what do you think? I mean, honestly, I'm hearing, you know, from both sides, what do you think is going to happen? It's just going to go...
I mean, it's a classic case of political posturing that ultimately will advance in real discussions between now and March 27th. But with the new word we'll learn. Of course, we've learned culture this week with Hegel.
Yeah.
We're now
kids,
sequestration.
Kids
sequestration. And then next is CR, continuing resolution.
Oh,
that will be our word of the month for March. And we'll get close to that 27th deadline, and there'll be some presumption for this grand bargain. And that's sort of the assessment. Everyone's positioning for that quote-unquote grand bargain so we don't have a government shutdown on March 27th.
Are you looking at these polls, though? I mean, they are just disastrous. I came in this morning, I said, can you get me that poll that shows everyone hates Republicans? And you said...
Which one?
Which one? Yeah. No, you literally saw the poll that people prefer traffic jams 3-1 over Congress. Ed Lice was remarkably
remarkably 2.5-1.
And even the replacement refs, those dreaded NFL replacement refs outperforming Congress.
With chlamydia.
Chlamydia was more popular than... Seriously, yeah.
See, but you are always out ahead of the game, particularly on marriage equality, which, you know, we may be moving toward. Look at, speaking of people that are supposed to be concerned about, you know, economics, the wedding industry could make $17 billion off gay marriage, the amount the U.S. wedding industry would gain each year if gays wed at the same rate. I mean, it just... that was one of those issues that you really led on, and you must feel amazing.
Well, I feel amazing, and particularly watching what happened yesterday where 80 Republicans, current and former Republican leaders, a lot of key players in the McCain campaign, Mike Murphy out here, Steve Schmidt, even Alex Castellanos and others, active in the Republican Party as consultants, now signing up on an amicus brief, a friend of a brief in support of our efforts as it relates to Proposition 8 at the Supreme Court. So this, you know, it is evolving at a remarkable rate and speed, and you know, you think back, and it's a good reminder of
back when you were the Che Guevara.
The Che Guevara.
Equality,
but back to when my year of birth in 1967. You know, when blacks couldn't marry whites in this country in 16 states until Richard Loving decided to break the law, fall in love with Mildred Jeter, and he was sentenced to 1 year in prison. People need to remember this. The judge in that case, as he was sentenced to a year in prison for marrying Mildred, the judge said, "God, sir, put different races on different continents for a reason. God never wanted the races to mix."
Wow.
I mean, literally, I'm paraphrasing, but that's almost verbatim what the judge said in sentencing to 1 year in prison or 25 years out of the great state of Virginia.
Wow.
70%, and here's the point, 70% of Americans opposed interracial marriage in 1967.
Yep.
And this activist Supreme Court unanimously overturned those rules. My long-winded point, though, to connect the dot today, 54% of Americans support marriage equality. We're so much further along.
Yeah.
As it relates to the question the court is going to be asked. And that's why it is absolutely the right time to ask that question.
Well, God must have been pretty pissed off about Europeans coming to America then.
there's some people here already who weren't down with that.
You're kidding.
Yeah, but there's a lot of right-wingers who say, God, was they okay with slavery, apparently.
Unbelievable. I wonder what God's thinking of the church right now.
Oof. Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Well, maybe we could put the conclave. We can have two questions. Who's the next pope? And can you deal with the sequestration issue? Yeah, they seem to be able to move pretty quickly.
A papal decree?
Yeah, there's white smoke, We've got a deal.
Do you think, speaking of the brief, though, do you think that's going to affect the court? I mean, there is that, just that it is not a partisan issue anymore.
Yeah.
But also that, you know, the right side of history argument. You look at the polling with young people, and
charts.
Right.
Democrats and Republicans, independents.
Right.
I think these guys have to. They're human beings. They've got to have to think about. I mean, you look back in the history books of those that are the wrong side of history in the Supreme Court. It's a humiliating thing for their families. It's humiliating. So if you're Justice Kennedy in particular, you're going to want to be on the right side of history. The good news is Justice Kennedy, who's our key justice as it relates to the swing on this, if he's consistent with what he did in Colorado in the Romer decision, he'll be consistent here in California. You can't take away rights that were legally granted that were legally asserted and provided for. That was a case in Colorado where he wrote the majority. The Proposition 8 case, people forget this. It was legal in California to get married. 18,000 couples did. And then we wrote into the Constitution a new law saying it's no longer legal. It was a remarkable thing. And, you know, you think about the history of the United States. Boy, every time we've advanced a constitutional amendment, there's been 27, 17 since the Bill of Rights. In each and every case, we've expanded people's rights. We haven't denied and taken away people's rights. Mm-hmm. That was what was so audacious about George Bush in 2004, wanting to support a constitutional, federal constitutional amendment to ban same-sex marriage. And, you know, a final point on that. Isn't it suggestive that the President of the United States in 2004 wanted to change the Constitution because he felt there was something missing in it?
Yeah.
Which ultimately is the constitutional question in front of the court. With an unamended constitution, there clearly is something there that suggests that we're on the right side of history as it relates to marriage equality and the rights of the gays and lesbian community.
Gavin Newsom, I have a new dream, and that is that you will officiate at my wedding.
Yes.
When I find a girl to marry, but my fear is that she will leave me for you because you are too good looking to live.
Oh, Christ.
So many women have gone from gay to questioning. She'll be right about ready to say I do, and then she'll just be like,
oh, wait a minute.
Gavin?
Unbelievable. What is this?
Wait a minute.
Unbelievable.
Everything has changed now.
Just like that.
That'll just be my heart. Okay, yeah. What kind of idiot chooses Gavin Newsom to officiate a wedding? That will be my wedding song.
You are an idiot.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
Gavin Newsom,
right.
Tell me about Citizenville.
Yes, a book.
How to take
a politician
the town
with a book. I know, it's
has
newsworthy.
Has that ever been done?
It's never been done. Shocking.
How to take the town square digital and reinvent government.
Yeah, I know. Reinvent government book by a politician. Like I said, shocking.
Stop the presses.
Stop the presses.
Stop the presses.
Yeah, no, I tried to, I wrote a book trying not to be the politician writing the book.
Right.
So this is not some history of my childhood and what drove me to, you know, whatever. You know, it's a technical book about technology and governing as opposed to technology and campaigning. We're very good at using the tools of technology to amplify voices, to come out and vote and to volunteer and write checks for our campaigns.
Right.
But once that campaign's done, we turn those voices off. And governing is not getting elected. It's actually doing the hard work of governing. So this book is about effectively using these same tools of technology to engage in a two-way conversation with taxpayers to activate proactive citizenship and to engage substantively in the life of our city, our state, and our country. And so I began a journey a year and a half ago, 68 interviews with well-known folks from President Obama, chiefs of staff and all their IT folks, to President Clinton and Gore and many others, and it led me to conclude that these tools of technology are going to dramatically alter the framework of engagement between taxpayers and citizens.
And not to be a typical talk show host suck up, but what a timely thing, because we were joking about the polls. But I think people legitimately are feeling so frustrated. And, you know, this book talks about how you can transform the government, take matters into your own hands, is the way it's described, to dissolve political gridlock.
Yeah, I mean, look, any of us, I mean, we all have this experience. I mean, the ubiquity of all these devices, the mobility, the quality of the devices we have today, where we're solving problems and we're engaging peer-to-peer more than ever. Then you go to the DMV.
Right.
And you're still filling out forms in triplicate. And you go from one line, and then you have to spell out the same form in the other line. So the disconnect is self-evident to everybody else. But what's happening is the democratization that is provided to engage people with these tools of technology provide a different platform than we've ever had. None of us could have imagined 5 years ago. And you think about it, literally, Tom Friedman said this, and it was brilliantly said. He said in 2005, when he was talking about the globalized world and this connected world, Facebook didn't exist.
Right.
Twitter was a sound. The cloud was in the sky. 4G was a parking space.
Yeah.
It's true. LinkedIn was a prison.
Right.
Apps were things you filled out to get into UCLA.
Right.
And Skype, for most of us, was a typo.
Yeah.
I mean, those things didn't exist as we know them in 2005, not 1995. So now they're ubiquitous in our life. So think about the impact that's certainly had on the media. You know this better than anybody.
Yeah.
Newspaper industry, publishing industry. Think of what has happened in the music industry, what's happened in the financial services industry. So we're on a collision course with the future government because we're still building out old 1970s era technology in our systems of government, including here in California.
Well, you know, you explain in the book how 21st century problems too big and too expensive for the government simply to buy solutions. Instead, Americans must innovate their way out. I mean, tell us how we can do that, though.
Well, my premise is this. Government operates more like a vending machine. You put in your dollar, and you get limited choices. Police, fire, health care, education, national defense. And if you don't like what you get, We do what many of us have done with the vending machine. You kick the machine, you shake it, right? And that's protest, the Occupy movement on one side, maybe the Tea Party on the other. And that's a framework of scarcity. And that's the government we've had, this sort of machine government. And what I'm arguing for is something very different, a notion of looking at government more like Steve Jobs looked at the smartphone as a platform for active citizen engagement. You know, what the iPhone ultimately did is allowed Jobs and Apple to partner with millions and millions of people. I mean, there are 800,000 apps just on that platform today. Mm. None of them provided by Apple. All of them provided by the innovation and spirit.
And yet, why can't the auto spell be better?
Well, that's a point.
I mean, really?
Let's talk Siri.
That is not what I meant.
But, you know, but government, you know, we've got to take those same principles, is my point, and bring them into our governing philosophy. And again, it's about a two-way conversation, active, not inert citizenship. I don't want things done to me as a taxpayer. I want things done with me. I want to be part of the budgeting of my city
and
state.
So it's Cialis for citizenship, the book. not want our citizenship inert. Who does?
You got it. Who the heck does?
Citizenville is the book. Gavin Newsom remains with us as we continue right here on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Fresh Republican outrage. You keep listening, she'll make more. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller. Tell her about it. Tell her everything you feel.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Lieutenant Governor of California, Gavin Newsom, live in studio.
I just love that
it's
song.
Just me trying not to look at you. Citizenville is the book. Lieutenant Governor, future Governor, future President Gavin Newsom.
I was Governor last week. It kind of went. I thought California did incredibly well last week, didn't you?
I mean,
it's just something magical about the state, the weather.
There
was an earthquake, admittedly, but it was a small one. What was good? Finally, the governor took off out of town. You know, he's never. You know, and I love Governor Brown, but he doesn't leave.
Right?
I mean, you know, what are lieutenant governors to do?
Are you just on orbits all the time? Oh, here's a good price. You want to go
Cancun? No, it's even the old joke, right? You know, what does lieutenant governor do? Picks up the paper every morning and reads the obituaries. Governor's not in there. Move on. It's distressing when you're the butt of your own jokes. But I do serve on... I'm not going to give you my real speech.
Please.
Yes. No, thank you. Well, thank you for asking. The lieutenant governor does actual real work here. I can justify my salary.
Well,
on the UC Board of Regents, CSU Board of Trustees, chair of the State Lands Commission, deal with issues of fracking and issues of offshore and onshore oil drilling, and chair of the Economic Development Commission. So there are things that California lieutenant governor does.
Don't you think the proposition situation is ridiculous?
Been hijacked by special interests.
Right. No. I mean, we don't know how to govern ourselves. That's why we need you.
I get it.
Propositions
I mean,
are like, would you like free, you know, unicorns that fart glitter? And we're like, yes. Yeah. Would you like to pay a penny more on your water bill? No.
No. So, but you just summed it up brilliantly. What these initiatives do is they lock in expenses, but they lock out revenue.
Right.
And is it any wonder we have the troubles we have in California?
Yeah.
And it's mob rule. And in this case, the mob often is taken over by the persuasion industry, special interest. It was designed to keep the robber barons, or in this case, the railroad barons, out of the pockets of legislatures in the early part of the last century. But precisely the reason it was conceived, now it's been hijacked by the same interest groups on all sides of the political aisle that are taking over this populist sentiment.
That's why it's the perfect time for Citizenville, how to take the town square digital and reinvent government.
Well done.
Gavin Newsom. I mean, but it really is, you know, as you were talking about all the social media things, that things are just so different. We were joking this morning about when I started doing talk shows, I got that shiny, curly fax paper still. That's how we would get show prep. And you're right, but it is a way that citizens can engage it more than in the past.
Yeah, I mean, it really is an extraordinary thing. I mean, I think we've all had this experience with our kids and our grandkids, nieces and nephews. But I honestly, I'm not kidding you. 1 year old, my daughter, Montana, she's about 3 and a half now, stopped me on my tracks. I watched her with my iPhone, and she can't talk. She can barely crawl. And here she was, flipping through my iPhone as if she'd been on it for a generation. And okay. I thought, honestly, I said, this is the one.
Right.
This is the prodigy. She's the one. You know, I'm Catholic. Right. This is the one.
My college best friend, yeah, I always talk about how technologically impaired I am. I'm like, I don't know how to do it. She's, you don't have a teenager. You need to get a teenager.
Rent a teenager. But you know, that you think about it, it's the first generation in human history where kids are an expert in something profoundly important. Where their parents
which
are not.
Which I will never get.
Which are digital
in fact,
natives.
Her daughter, I was being an elderly shut-in, I was out at a restaurant, and I'm like, I can't read the menu, it's too dark. And like in 4 seconds, she had that flashlight thing installed. I was like, how did you? It was like when caveman first saw fire. I was like, what?
Here, Grandma, it's easy.
And part of the principle of my book is why government apps. Why don't we have app stores, as you have on the Apple iPhone or Android platforms, for government services, for all of these things. And these are the ideas in the book that we're promoting. And the way we do that is by opening up data and government. The default needs to be openness and transparency to build trust. The great struggle and frustration the president's having is on this notion. I mean, we had that debate, and you guys talking about it amply, on the issue of the drones, this ready, fire, aim policy with American citizens as it relates to the Constitution and due process on that kill list, and the fact that they're unwilling to submit to the light of sunshine and day. Some of the legal briefs related to that. That's got to be resolved. And in this era of openness and transparency where technology provides that light, we have to lean into this.
Gavin, why do you think that we were just doing a statistic today, which even I didn't know, and I, you know, Chris always says we marinate in this information all day, but only 6% of the American public know the deficit has actually fallen.
Yeah, $845 billion, the lowest it's been in years.
Right. I mean, with all this, you know, internet, social media, why is it that we still, I mean, what is it John Kerry said yesterday? He said he offered a defense of freedom of speech, saying he told German students in America you have the right to be stupid if you want to be. Yeah. It seems that too many of us are taking advantage of that.
No, it's true. Well, I mean, again, we're so consumed, though, by process and personality. We're so focused on who's to blame, and we watch these shows, and we don't get those sort of objective facts. You get this filter bubble, as folks talk about, and it's polarized on all sides, and it creates disconnect. I mean, we're 138th in the world in voter participation. 138.
Wow.
You can have a huge mayor's race here. In Los Angeles, I'd be shocked if you get more than 10-12% of people to show up in the second largest city in America. It's the new norm. These aren't headlines anymore. These are trend lines. Outside of presidential campaigns, it is a norm to see 10-20% of registered voters participating. So if you're not even interested in that one-off every 2 to 4 years, how are you going to necessarily be interested every day, as I'm arguing for, to improve the governance of your city?
Well, and so this is how we got where we are now, because, you know, people were asleep in 2010, and the crazy Tea Party fringe were the only ones that were activated, and this is what we got.
Yeah, and, you know, in many ways, and there's not much at all that I support of the Tea Party, except one thing, that they weren't asleep, and they stepped up and stepped in,
right.
And they've been at it. I mean, watching guys like Cruz control folks like Cornyn. I mean, talk about Cruz control. The number two senator who can't even operate because some freshman is now controlling him because Cornyn's so paranoid about being primaried in 2014.
Yeah.
Wow. We're literally, this entire debate about sequester, it's all about elections.
Everything old is new. Joe McCarthy's back.
I have in my hand a list of 205 communists in the State Department.
The book is Citizen Bill by Lieutenant Governor Gavin Newsom of the great state of California.
Thank
always
you.
Are your teeth real? You are
teeth real.
I can't.
Of course they are.
Over it. You are
what a
so
question.
Wow.
What
awesome.
A question.
Love you, Gavin.
He was making
Newsom.
A test tube.
Good luck on Laura Ingraham.
Oh, yeah. Thanks a lot. Tune in.
Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
And now, here with an unlimited supply of misinformation is
Stephanie Miller.
What you mean, pull the rabbit out of my hat?
I'm sorry, I'm in my Gavin Newsom afterglow. Don't bother me.
We were saying that he has Bill Clinton charisma.
He does.
He really does.
He has that you're the only person in the world when he talks to you.
Yeah.
Oh, I just melted a little bit. Okay. 1-800.
You went from gay to totes questioning.
Oh, my God. Extra crispy bucket of stripe. All right, 34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Kevin in D.C., speaking of my crushes. Hello, Kevin.
I'm your girl.
Someone 10 minutes ago called me, hey, man, your girl is cheating with some Rico Suave-looking mother trucker.
Oh!
I'm like,
trucker.
Calm down.
No, okay.
He said trucker.
trucker.
Are you okay?
Okay, all right.
Oh, Stephanie, you know I thought you just had
a brain-related event and didn't dump that.
No,
okay,
he said trucker.
Okay, trucker, trucker, trucker.
He paused and everything.
Yeah.
He was a clean edit point, even
okay.
if he did.
Okay, got it.
Yes, come on, Stephanie. You really think I would do anything to get your show off?
No, Angel, go ahead.
Come on.
To get you off, maybe, but that's okay.
But anyway.
Go ahead.
The reason I called... Sorry to give you a heart attack. The reason I call is that I'm wondering, maybe it's my wishful thinking, but at a time where every poll in recent weeks showed Republican approval ratings are in the toilet, you know, where a large majority of people agree the president's policies over Republicans, where even brick brains like Bill DeShea O'Reilly and Sean Kluka Clannady and Sandy they won't even identify themselves as Republicans. So with all of that, do you think it's possible for Dems to take back the House in 2014 and maybe make Republicans go the way of the wick? But I mean, Dems should
obviously we're told that with this gerrymandering it's going to be impossible. But I don't know if these ratings get any lower. I don't know. I don't know what's possible anymore. I mean, I've just never seen anything like it. These approval ratings. All right. Oh, we were talking about this with Hal. Because of the screaming goats, all the screaming goats video reminds us of our favorite Maria Bamford bit.
I can't listen to love songs. Love songs on the coast with Delilah. Where are you calling from tonight? What are your requests and dedications? What's your name? Happy holidays. Where are you calling from? Hi, Amy, calling in from Tustin, Arizona. What's going on with you tonight, Amy? So you and Matt broke up. That's hard. That's tough. What do you want to say to Matt tonight? We'll play that for you. That's Penny Lover by Lionel Richie.
That's exactly what love makes you feel
Penny,
like.
Penny Lover.
Wow. All right. Hey, speaking of awesome, hot, sexy liberals like Gavin Newsom, my future husband, Senator Russ Feingold, poised for a comeback, could top Scott Walker next year,
yay,
according to new polls. He fell victim to what we were just talking about, the 2010 elections, but a poll out Tuesday showed that he could be in a strong position for a political comeback.
That's right.
Because they messed with the wrong honey badger. 53% of Wisconsin voters say they have a favorable opinion of Feingold, 37% unfavorable. The poll indicated Feingold could get the last laugh on the Republican who ousted him, Ron Johnson. In a hypothetical matchup, he would win 52-42 over Ron Johnson. Let's see, blah, 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 blah. Johnson's underwater, his approval rating. Feingold fared better than any Democrat tested in a hypothetical matchup against Governor Scott Walker. How awesome would that be?
We will stomp on Governor Walker.
Right, exactly. Feingold edged Walker 49-47% in this latest poll out. That'd be awesome! Ermigerd!
Ermigerd!
Exactly.
All right.
Jill and Ithaca. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Jill.
Hi. How do you think they make those goats scream? It makes me a little nervous.
Yeah.
They don't seem to. It doesn't seem to be anything.
They're just walking around. That's.
I just wonder the whole thing's a hoax. If that's.
No. I don't think anybody's causing it. There's been a couple people called in that know goats, and they said they do. They make weird sounds. Yeah. Go ahead.
Okay, but the real reason I called is. I'm still trying to get over the Bush administration. And anything that smells anything like the Bush years, what happened with the Supreme Court just recently is the Obama administration, unfortunately, wants to or have the power to wiretap media people who have correspondence in, not in the states, in other countries. And that's going to be upheld, and that makes me really nervous, even though it's Obama.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I mean, here's one good thing at the Supreme Court. Judge Sonia Sotomayor.
Yes, love her.
Did you see?
She laid the smack down.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
She laid the smack down on a prosecutor that said something really racist. She took issue with a question asked by the prosecutor in a case that was before them. While questioning an African-American defendant in a drug case, he actually said, so you've got African-Americans, you've got Hispanics, you've got a bag full of money. Does that tell you a light bulb doesn't go off in your head and say this is a drug deal? Oh,
wow. Oh, no.
No.
Uh-uh.
She wrote, the prosecutor tapped a deep and sorry vein of racial prejudice that has run through the history of the criminal justice system in our nation. The question was pernicious in its attempt to substitute racial stereotype for evidence.
That's right. That's a very good point. That was, that was racial stereotype and not evidence.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Wow.
Who wants to do another story about the Republican Party at war with itself?
I do.
Fight,
I do.
Fight, fight, fight.
And they're not all pretty.
Please. No, fight. None of you are pretty.
None of you are pretty. Fight. Go ahead.
Quite a lot. The Daily Beast, Karl Rove's war. This is just, I need some festive music. It's
okay.
So festive. What the hell was Karl Rove thinking? This has been the question on the minds of many political observers since the Republican super strategist, not so super anymore, thanks for asking, open up a nasty new front in the ongoing civil war between his party's purists and its pragmatists. This is just, this is such good fun. Mark Levin and Steve Deese have lined up to take... He's another right-wing radio whack. They've lined up to take swings at Rove for plotting to marginalize conservatives. He said, Deese said there will be no fixing this. The civil war has been brewing in this party for a couple of years now. Yes!
Good!
Fight! Fight! Fight!
Mark Levin definitely is not pretty.
Oh, give me my soft
He's
Republicans.
Sarcastic.
Yeah, I love this
I
part of this.
Right wing.
I love this part of this, talking about him taking a beating on Fox News about this.
Yeah.
And they describe him soft and pale, sheared of his usual swagger. Rove was the very picture of a man under siege. Aww.
Do you know what they do to soft, bald, overweight Republicans in prison?
Oh, dear. Arguably, no Republican had a deeper post-election hole to climb out of than Rove. His personal brand was badly damaged by his triumphal forecast last cycle, including an embarrassing election night that found him on Fox News disputing his neck worst decision. We all know this.
Yes.
Blah, blah, blah. More materially, American Crossroads failed to deliver big time. Not only did Mitt Romney lose, so did 6 of the 8 Senate horses they packed. Even Donald Trump, as we crawl, took a turn, saying congrats to Karl Rove on blowing $400 million this cycle. Post-election, big Republican donors have been demanding answers. As a condition of future support for various groups and players in the money game report, there have been a lot of barking, profanity, and not-so-veiled threats. All his cards sound like screaming goats now.
Yes.
They sound like Mitt Romney singing the national anthem and screaming goats.
Do we have that?
Ari Fleischer says, far from blowing over, the fight will accelerate the first time the ads are shown against a Tea Party candidate on behalf of another candidate.
Right.
Anybody, Deese, the radio host, said anybody who Rove is attached to will get a scarlet letter. At this point, a candidate would be better off getting Barack Obama's endorsement than Karl Rove's.
Wow!
Fight, fight, fight. Yeah, he already took out an ad against Ashley Judd, who hasn't even decided if she's running yet. Which makes me think she's got a better chance.
That's right.
Whoever Karl Rove picked
the last
time.
They're scared of her.
Yeah. Yeah, you go with that Mitch McConnell. He is photogenic.
This is awesome.
Right. Last week, the Tea Party Patriots, as you recall, they had to send an apology out. They had a fundraising play. They green-screened him into an SS officer's.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Daily Beast closing with, you know it's been a rough run when members of your own party start comparing you with Nazis. Fight, fight, fight!
Actually, Rove does look a bit like the Nazi from,
Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Yeah.
Oops. Yeah, he does.
The one that got his face melted off.
Yeah.
And the glasses just kind of...
Right. Right.
Yeah.
There were two that got their faces melted
off,
but he was one of the glasses.
Right. Andy in Houston. Hello, Andy. Welcome.
Hi. How are you?
Good. Go ahead.
First, I need you to say hello to my gay pugs, Atticus and Francis Albert, who sit still for 3 hours every day so they can listen to you.
Atticus and Francis are so handsome and romantic.
There you go.
Atticus Finch and Frank Sinatra.
Hmm? All right, go ahead.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. In memory of my mother, who taught me good things, including to listen while I was in law school, as opposed to John Boehner and most of the Republicans.
Right.
John Boehner has been screaming and yelling about the two bills that Congress passed that everybody should act on. Those bills were passed in the last Congress.
Yep.
They are now dead.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. They couldn't get off their ass if they wanted to.
We have moved a bill in the House twice.
Twice.
We should not have to move a third bill before the Senate gets off their ass and begins to do something.
Get off their ass.
Are you getting listeners in my imagination?
I even have a third bill. Just get off your ass.
I always picture his tongue just at least partially numb by bourbon.
Yeah. That two fingers of bourbon.
Al in Texas. Hi, Al. Welcome.
Hello.
Hello, Al.
Yeah, we have a state representative from Plano, which ain't too far from where I live.
platform that has a tax-free holiday to buy guns.
Oh, a tax-free holiday to buy... Say that one more time.
To buy a gun?
Texas Liberation Day on March 2nd, beginning next year, you're going to be able to buy all the firearms you want and bullets and hunting gear to have a tax-free holiday like they do on school supplies.
Wow.
Oy vey. Welcome to Texas. I'm sorry. You know what it is? All my crushes are combining. I gasped because I saw Alan Grayson on TV. Hi. Gavin Newsom was just here. Okay, 45. I don't know what's happening to me. 45
you need
minutes.
To find a chick politician to lust after.
Something. 45 minutes after the hour. What is happening to me? Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ex-Catholic girls gone wild. Her grade school nuns would like to slap her silly. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Mm-hmm. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 50 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Well, this explains everything about why all the polls are showing how much people hate Republicans.
Why?
According to a new survey, Republicans turned to Olive Garden for quality ethnic food.
I saw that yesterday.
That's hilarious. Is that the onion?
No.
No.
That's for real. That's although hilarious. A scary amount of Democrats answered that they go to... like something like 53% of Democrats say they go to Olive Garden for quality ethnic food.
Yeah, but you know
food.
How Republicans really? Pronounce it, I bet. Oh, let's go for some Italian, honey.
Italian.
Italian.
What'd you say? For some pasta.
I guess they're not big on pho.
They've never heard of pho.
I swear it's pho, but okay.
No, it's pho.
All right. I love it. It's Vietnamese soup that has like everything in the world. Like eyeballs and intestines.
It does not
I
have
love it.
Eyeballs.
Oh,
it,
love
has,
it.
It has tripe. It has
oh, I love it.
Intestines. But I just get
oh,
the
it's awesome.
I just get the sliced brisket with the meatballs, and it's really good.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Everything in this story is in pho. That soup. It's Vietnamese soup.
Yep.
Cops. Man stole sword, balls, and a blind cat.
Balls?
Chinese meditation balls.
Oh, okay.
Lawrence, Kansas.
Of course.
Is the matter with Kansas? Does anyone know?
Blind cat?
The cat was returned fine. I had to scan that story before I sent it to you. Okay.
I know.
I hope he didn't have to drive home himself. That was...
See what you did there?
Tunesis, no! He entered a mobile home in Lawrence, Kansas, made off with a Japanese-style sword, a blind black cat, and some Chinese meditation balls.
Oh.
As you do.
Uh-huh. Police were called later when residents at a nearby home reported they fled when a man barged in with no shirt or shoes but wearing the sword on his waist, carrying the cat and the balls. He then began eating their food. The balls,
okay.
The sword, and the cat, named Freddy, in case you were wondering, were returned to their owners.
That's right.
Hmm. You have my balls and my cat.
Have you seen my
and
balls?
When you're missing your balls and your see, you know that.
Wow.
There is a problem.
I'm not going there.
Hot trendy mess.
I got.
Stop it! Oh, jeez.
Oh,
there come the
Jim
cards and letters.
Louise Ward. There you went.
What? It was on the TV.
You should have just offered no support at all, like Chris.
Yeah. I just let it go.
Right.
Let it lay there.
All right. This is a story. Well, I know that I'm old. A lawyer for the family of a 9-year-old Massachusetts rapper,
yes,
who appears in sexually suggestive videos, is criticizing authorities' decision to investigate whether the boy is a victim of possible child abuse or neglect. The boy performs as a Lil Poopy. You familiar? You kids familiar?
I'm familiar with his Irv.
I'm sure you can pronounce it.
I stopped my rap back with the icy, puffy people.
Yes.
I'm not familiar with the Lil Poopy. The lawyer said this is just what I would call racially tinned investigation because whoever watched it probably doesn't understand rap. That would be me. I mean, I do.
I speak
Chinese. Oh, good. But I do not. Mm-hmm. With the video, he's 9. It shows the boy slapping a woman's buttocks, engaging in sexually suggestive dances, and glorifying drug use and materialism.
That doesn't sound good.
See, I just instantly turn into my 9-year-old Republican mother.
I think we all did.
Oh, dear.
That's not how I would parent.
Lil Poopy music that was posted to an online mixtape site last October has lyrics that include him singing about being a bad boy and a cocaine cowboy.
Can a 9-year-old be a cocaine cowboy?
I don't think that's appropriate.
I don't think so either.
It's Speaking of inappropriate, Miss Delaware Teen USA resigns after porn video services. Oh,
sweet.
Dear. Sweet. Oh, dear. Oh, dear. I don't God, well, I think that's all you need to know about that story. Oh, oopsie.
Just in time for Ron Jeremy to recover.
Yikes. Okay. Gawker brings us the story. Now some nincompoops want to make Aerosmith's Dream On the Rock Song of Massachusetts.
Wow.
This is not nice about Boston. Gawker writes, the city of Boston is like that childhood best friend you introduce to adult friends with repeated assurances like, sometimes he flips over cars when he's drunk, but he's really great. Yes, he wears khakis. But he's an incredibly liberal thinker. No, he really talks funny, but just give him a chance. And then you bring him to a cocktail party, he jumps onto a table and screams, go Sox, and pukes in the punch bowl. Case in point, we were momentarily thrilled that there was a citizen-led campaign to make Modern Lovers' Roadrunner the official rock song of Massachusetts. Except no, yesterday two state reps went and filed a bill to make Aerosmith's Dream On, Massachusetts' official rock song. I don't know what's wrong with that. I don't.
Aerosmith is from Massachusetts.
I'm for it as long as it's the mini Aerosmith. You know me. I'm more of an aficionado of the mini Kiss and the mini, those guys.
Steven Tyler's actually from New York.
The mini tribute band.
Joe, definitely.
Screaming Goat, or was that Mini Steven Tyler?
That was Mini Steven Tyler.
All right. Mm-hmm.
Steven Tiny.
Do you have any scratching sound effects, or will Jim have to do Foley?
Foley.
Okay, because I'm doing the Barbara Walters story now.
Okay.
Oh, I am so scratchy.
Vooka, 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 vooka.
Scratchy, scratchy, scratchy.
Vooka, vooka, vooka.
Check on Fox. Wow. Wow, am I.
Is that how her skin sounds? I know.
Is she that dry?
A handsaw.
That was the Bill Cosby sound effect from the Noah bit when he was making the ark.
Yes, a Cuban.
Barbara Walters will return. Barbara Walters will return to The View on Monday, March 4th. I love, by the way, Hal Sparks was here earlier. I love his story about his friend who named their dog Barbara Walters.
Yeah.
Come here, Barbara Walters.
So she has to run down the street going, Barbara Walters, no! No!
Bad Barbara Walters!
Bad! She called into The View and said, like it or not, I am coming back on the show starting next Monday. No more chicken pox, no more falling down, no more nothing. Oh, and then that was helpful. I haven't been contagious for a while. Okay.
No. Thanks.
Suddenly, Whoopi's, wooka, wooka, wooka. Why am I so itchy? Etchy, etchy, etchy. So squatchy. Okay. Dancing with the Stars has announced their new... Oh, this cannot end well. Andy Dick? Really?
Oh.
Yeah. The aptly named.
Yeah.
Dorothy Hamill, Winona Child, among others, and Andy Dick. Oh, no.
Well, Dorothy Hamill has... I mean, her entire career was movement.
Dancing
so,
on ice.
So she should do well.
Yeah.
Right, but Andy Dick is just, you know, he's going to... Either punch someone or throw up on someone. You know he is.
Also, Lisa Vanderpump from The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
Oh, my God.
I know.
Whatever. My okay. God. As you mentioned, I mentioned to Gavin Newsom, who was just here, that is my dream. I'm going to have him officiate my fictional wedding.
Uh-huh. Yeah, he'll get right on that.
That I will fictionally have.
Did you hear how excited he was?
Except that she will probably leave me at the last second for him. Do you take this? Hey, wait a minute.
Wait a minute.
Who is that? See ya. But if I do accomplish this, I want a Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie wedding. Their guests will be greeted by leaping Shetland ponies. I want ponies. I want a wedding.
Are they leaping near them, on them? What are they doing?
They're going to tie them onto their French estate. I want to get married at French estate with leaping Shetland ponies.
Brad was hoping not to have a leaping Irishman.
Which boasts its own chapel, and at the end, and then they also are going to have elephants cut into the hedges or something, and Shetland ponies leaping as people go up.
Five golden wings.
I want leaping ponies.
Leaping ponies.
That's it for us. Another really, really weird show.
Yeah.
Okay. We will see you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.